my thoughts have changed from the words that I was going to bring to your mind this morning. After we heard about the devastation in Ethiopia, my heart went out to my brothers and sisters in Ethiopia. You know, some of us were brought up in a time of separation where blacks and whites didn't go to the same church. Blacks and whites didn't eat in the same restaurant. Blacks and whites had their differences. One of the things that was brought to my mind was I can remember going down to a little restaurant by Armco Steel. It was called McDougal's. McDougal's had seating inside, seating at the counter, but they also had a window. And it wasn't a drive-through window. It was come up and place your order window and don't come inside because blacks were not allowed. And there was an awful lot of blacks that was working for Armco Steel. But I thank God for my dad because my dad never saw a color difference. Some of his close friends were black. Some of them were Mexican. Some of them were Italian. He just didn't know the difference. And there was a place in Independence, and I'm not going to use the name of the place in Independence because it would be disrespectful, but it was with the N-word, neck, and it was called that. And white people didn't go to that portion of Independence. That was for blacks only. But I can remember going to school at William Crispin. We had, this was before segregation or integration was taking place, and we had blacks in William Crispin. And this was like in the early 50s and early 60s. We didn't have the difference. And in fact, I had a very close friend. I wish I could know what happened with him. His name was Anthony Johnson. And Anthony joined the FBI. But I can remember going and watching him play basketball. And we went over to a place like Central High School, which was majorly black. And I was sitting in the stands. And Anthony made the winning goal. And all of a sudden, I saw black arms coming around me and hugging me, and that was his sister. But see, that happened in the 60s. And I can also remember where I was when I heard that Martin Luther King was assassinated. And I'm not saying that I agreed with what Martin Luther King stood for, because his actions didn't portray his religion. And that got me to wondering, do our actions portray our religion? Are we prejudiced? Do we say that we believe that all people are equal and not believe it? Or do we believe that all people are equal, like our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia? I've got a song that I want you to listen to. I won't sing it. I won't trouble you that way. But it's page 265. O my people, saith the Spirit. Hear the word of God today. Be not slothful, but obedient. 'Tis the world's momentous day. I shouldn't have said I could read it because I can't. Unto honor, I have called you. Honor great, as angels know. Heed ye then. A father's counsel. God has residence below. But this is what I really want to read. Love ye me and love all people. Love as I had loved you. This your calling, this my purpose. Thus be my disciples true. Then in this exalted station, your companion I will be. Every promise of my scriptures will be verified in thee. Doesn't say a portion of my scriptures, but every portion of my scriptures will be verified in thee. Get thee up unto your mountain, Zion of this closing day, for the purpose of my coming. Waits to break upon your day, your way. Forth from thence your testimonies shall on trembling nations go, and the word confess that with you God has residence below. Do we really believe that we're God's people, or do we just say that? I really believe it. I believe, though, that we have a lot of work to do. It's just not saying something, but doing something, just as we've done this morning. You know, we sang patriotic songs for the first three songs of the morning. And those patriotic songs give us an idea of what America should be. And Am I thankful that I was born in this country? I am so thankful that I was born in this country and that you were born in this country. I feel it an honor and a duty to salute those flags. I feel that God has selected this nation out of all the other nations upon the earth to bless. We are told that. Do we believe it? Do we believe that we should open our borders to anybody that wants to come in? I'm not saying that. I don't believe that. I believe that there's some that we would want to keep out of this country. But there are others that we're keeping out that we shouldn't. God says that He will bring people to this country. And I believe it. I believe every word that's in the Book of Mormon and in the Bible. Now, we talked this morning about the Book of Commandments. There's some commandments that I've changed my mind about. But there's others in the Book of Commandments that I totally agree with. One of the commandments in the Book of Commandments is that every soul is precious to God. Every soul. He doesn't say because you're white, you're precious to God, and because you're black or you're Indian, you're not precious. No, they are precious too. Every soul is precious to God. And are we going out there and doing the things that we're supposed to do to draw souls unto God? I listened to a program the other day on live streaming. And I heard the message that Brother Adam Yates preached about being a Christian. Do you want Christ in your life? Well, I do. But you know more, I want to be a Christ-like. I want to do those things that He has told us to do and abstain from those things that He has told us to abstain from. But you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to resist temptation. But that's our obligation. That's what we're called to do. You know, this morning, God knows who you are. He knows where you are. And He knows what your purpose is. And you know, your purpose is much more than what we think our purpose is. My purpose is not to stand up here and bore you with a sermon. My purpose is to serve God in every way I can. Do I do that all the time? No, I don't. You know something? You're elected for your pastor, a sinner. But I pray that God would forgive me of my sins and that He would send them away from me as far as the east is from the west. And our purpose is to accept His word. Our purpose is to call upon Him daily. And that's not just once. That's all the time. brother, in his sermon last week, made a statement. Do we take Jesus with us? Do we invite him to go with us? We have a habit. I won't call it a habit. It's what we do. When we're to leave on a long trip, or even a short trip, like from here to Harrisonville, I pray that God would ride with me, that he would be my co-pilot, that he would take the lead when I get into that car, that I won't do something stupid, that I'll make his name for a benefit to others today or that day. You know, during the Last Supper, the Savior gave a new commandment to his disciples. And it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." That ye also love one another. By this means, or by this, all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. And you know, there's times when we see that love in the church. There's also times when we see the opposite of that. We see people that hold grudges. We see people that is unforgiving. And what does the scripture say? If you don't forgive men of their sins, I won't forgive you of yours. I paraphrase that. But the Savior's disciples were given a new commandment to do something more, something greater, something more divine. And this new commandment, an invitation, is summarized in the key phrase, "as I have loved you." You know, the love of Jesus Christ is not limited. That's open. Does he love a sinner? Yeah, he came to earth so that sinners might be able to go with him to heaven. As I have loved you. Have you thought about that? Have you thought how Christ love was given to us? As it states, "as I have loved you." Love is an action. It's an action. Love is a service. Love is a feeling of deep devotion, concern, affection. The greatest example of God's love for his children is found in an infinite atonement of Jesus Christ. And as we all know, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love for God, love for your fellow man, is a characteristic of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Not that, oh, he didn't repent, so I'm not going to forgive him. Or he did something that was absolutely wrong in the church, so I'm not going to forgive him. Take a look at your own life. And this is what I feel. If God loved me enough to forgive me, then how can I stand in the way of God forgiving you? It's an impossibility. Have you ever thought of asking a question? Do you love me? What if you asked that of your grandmother? Do you love me? What if you asked that of your mother or father? Do you love me? What if you ask that of your spouse? Do you love me? Of course, the answer is yes, I do love you. Then another question. How do you know that you love me? How do you know that you love me? By the feeling that you have deep in your heart. I love you because I feel it inside my heart. That's how I know I love Jesus Christ. Because I feel it in my heart. In that word that we were studying and you read, King Benjamin taught, "Behold, I tell you these things, that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when you're in the service of your fellow beings, you're only in the service of your God." When I was asked to do the benediction and invocation and benediction for graduation classes, I quoted that to the ones that were graduating. "Behold, I tell you these things, that you may learn wisdom." You know, so many times we learn for the sheer sake of learning. But do we learn wisdom? "That you may learn that when you're in service of your fellow being, you're only in the service of your God." You know, that's what this country was founded on. That when we love others and we show service unto others. We're showing service to our God. And this is one reason why I think that the United States right now is not is failing, is not doing God's work. Love without service is like faith without works. Love without service is like faith without works. It's dead. The pure love of Christ is charity. And you know it speaks a lot about it in the Book of Mormon. The pure love of Christ, which is charity, inspires us not only to act and provide service, but also to have the strength to forgive regardless of the situation. Can you forgive me? Can you forgive yourself? That's a bigger question. And most of the time we say, no, I keep bringing these things up time after time. I can't forgive myself. It's written on my memory. Well, I cut a lot out of that sermon. I'm having a heck of a time getting this paper to separate. Have you? And this is something that I was asked to be on a court. And, you know, I could hug him because I knew his heart. The fellow that I was being a counselor for. We had wept together for a long time. It says in the Book of Mormon, Alma declared the Savior. He testified of the Savior. And he shall go forth suffering pains, temptations of every kind, and afflictions. And this, that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, He will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people. Has Jesus taken upon himself my sicknesses? Was he tempted far above that which I'm tempted? Yes. You have to answer yes to both of those questions. When we read about Christ's temptations, he could have turned the stones into bread. could have flung himself off of that mountain, but he didn't. But he recorded it, or it was recorded. Our Jesus can do so many things that we, you know, it says that his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. He can do so much, but he didn't. He let us know that there was one that was tempted above all the temptation we could ever think about. And he refused it. And when I think of him being beaten for my sins, and when I think of him being strung upon the cross for my sins, him having nails put in his hand, for his hands and his feet, and a sword pierced his side. He could have refused. But that would have foiled his father's plans. His father's plans were that he would come down and be ridiculed, spat upon, beaten, and hung on the cross. That we would be able to go into heaven with him. Alma declared of the Savior, "And he shall go forth, suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind, and this that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people." Brothers and sisters, what a marvelous story of real love and forgiveness. We likewise can have joy and happiness as we serve others and forgive others. What kind of a family are we if we can't forgive one another? What kind of a family are we if we have pain, if we have differences that separate us? What kind of a family are we? We are a happy family. I thrill to call you my brothers and sisters, especially this day when we are going to reach across the oceans and go to a people that are different color than what we are. But we want to give aid, comfort to those people. So we are a happy family. I know that our Father and his Son love us and are willing to help us to act as we love one another. As the Father and his Son has loved us. And I know that by serving and forgiving others with real love, we can be healed and receive the strength to overcome our own challenges and also declare the name of Jesus Christ to all men. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you love him? Do you love God for sacrificing his Son? John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 21:15-17 says this, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? I actually heard that as I was being called to the ministry. Peter went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they both ran together. And the other disciple that did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, and saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. These two disciples, apostles, loved Jesus. Little bit of foreknowledge. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread. This is the 21st chapter of John. And that was the 13th verse. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After he was risen from the dead. And when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? As you look around the room, could you answer that? Do you love Jesus more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Are you feeding his lambs? That's the children that came into this world and is calling you dad or calling you mom. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, can you imagine being asked three times, Do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou would or wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. When I get ready to go to work or get ready to go to church, and I put on this nice white shirt or whatever shirt I put on, I don't have the feeling or the dexterity in my fingertips to button my shirt. So my wife has to button my shirt. Getting old is not fun, but it sure beats the alternative. And he spaketh, saying, by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying to you. Follow me. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me and keep my commandments, and we will live together in eternity. How long's eternity? As far as the east is from the west. Now in Proverbs 3:12, it says, Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. He's corrected me several times. And Proverbs 17:17 says, A friend loveth at all times. And I know that to be true. A friend loveth at all times. You are my friends. And I love you. And remember what's said in John, the 13th chapter and the 14th chapter. Love one another as I have loved you. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 15 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And what I like this verse. Romans 8:35. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing can separate us from that. That devil and all of his slyness cannot separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. And the devil, the only power that he has is the power that we give him. First Corinthians 2:9 says, eye hath not seen the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Says in the Book of Mormon, Alma 10:28. It says, if you're led by the Holy Spirit, becoming patient and full of love. It tells us also in Alma, the 18th chapter, to bridle all of your passions, that ye may be filled with love. 4 Nephi 1:37. There is no contention because of the love of God which dwelled in the hearts of the people. And charity is the pure love of Christ. You want to do something for Jesus? Love qualifies men for God's work. If thou lovest me, serve me, and keep my commandments. John 14:15. So my brothers and sisters, as the song in Abdonition, love ye me and love all people. Love as I have loved you. This my purpose, this your calling. Thus be my disciples true. So love us with all your heart. And don't let it stop there. Love us in your mind. May God bless you is my prayer.
Kind of wicked. Had all wisdom, all understanding. And this is what he says. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And this is the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's our duty. It's our purpose. So if anybody ever asks you, what is my purpose on this earth? It is to fear God and to keep His commandments. That's your duty here on this earth. Verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment. Unless you repent, He's going to bring the works that you do that you don't repent of into judgment. But if you humble yourself and repent those things, as I said earlier, He will erase them from the chalkboard. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. You know, we don't do anything in secret. You might hide something from me. You might hide something from Mom. You might hide something from Dad. But you don't hide anything from God. God knows where you're at every time, every moment of every day and every night. And every secret thing, He knows it. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. So that's the conclusion of this sermon. It's the conclusion of any sermon that Larry might bring to you. It's a conclusion of any sermon that we might hear online or go to a reunion and hear. That's the conclusion of all these things, of all these scriptures. This is the responsibility. This is the duty that we have as man. Do I keep them all? No, I don't, and God knows. I can't stand here and say that I do because He knows I would be lying. But I want to. That was the difference between Solomon and David. Solomon did wickedly. Did what? No. Solomon did wickedly. He had many wives and many concubines. Now, this is a question I don't have the answer for, and it may not even be my place to ask it, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. Did Solomon repent of those things before he stood before the judgment bar? That's between Solomon and God. I'm trying to draw a comparison. Solomon had a lot of wives and a lot of concubines. Let's go back to David. David did many things that were an abomination. The Book of Mormon says that David and Solomon had many wives and concubines, and it's an abomination to him. Okay, the difference between Solomon and David was that David, in his heart, and I'm not saying to use this for an excuse, but David, in his heart, loved God. He loved God. So am I saying, okay, let's go out and sin, and because I love God, it's okay? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying if we sin and if we humble ourselves and repent and have that humbleness in our heart, God will forgive and He will accept that repentance. Larry preached a sermon here, probably close to a year ago, and I wish I could think about how he said it because he asked us a question. Maybe it'll come one day. But anyhow, that's the things I have to bring to you. And yes, it's can be scary if we aren't obedient unto the love of God. So here we are. Thank you very much. Oh, I need to shut the thing on. If I can get over there.
I wrote it down, boy. It's a fantastic dream. Scared the wits out of you. But anyway, this inferno. And so all the people of the church, this was down in Honduras, so all the people of the church right here were told, says, to go, was it the missionary quarters or to the church? They're in the church right here. But anyway, they had to flee. And so they're fleeing from the inferno that's coming just over the mountain. They knew it. It's brimstone, fire and brimstone coming, burning everything up. So as it's coming right here, they're going to the place where they thought was going to be safety. And so as she was going, her boyfriend right here had a new motorcycle. in the dream. And so he's, you know, she's fleeing to refuge. He's got a motorcycle. Hey, maybe. Look at my new motorcycle. Hey, the new motorcycle. Boy, look at this. This shiny, right? This big. I could race it. I'll race anybody on in Honduras right here. This is the best motorcycle that anybody can buy, right? She says, Fernando, I'm not the least bit interested in your motorcycle. We're fleeing for our lives. We're going somewhere where the Lord has prepared for us for safety right here. And you're talking motorcycles? And then her mother comes up. Mother says, now, maybe. Well, we need to go shopping. We need to buy some new things. And in fact, as I've been have an eye on this little dress right here. Oh, it looks so cute on you right here. Mom, we're going. Can't you see the fire coming? And so what happens? That's dross. All the dross and the crud of our lives right here. It says right here, when the heat comes, purges, burns it up. If there's anything left, if there's any gold, if there's any silver in your life, that stays and remains. But the rest of it's gone. So let me finish up. We took a trip to Michigan last year. Took a trip to Michigan right there, and up there by Traverse City, by Sleeping Bear Sand Dunes, is a lighthouse. It's a lighthouse at a rescue station. And this rescue station is pretty neat. And it goes back maybe 100 years or more. And they've got a lifeboat that's on a railroad track. And they can jerk that thing as it goes all the way down to the sea, to the lakeshore. They've got a cannon. And that cannon there is, if there's a ship that's broken on the rocks, they've got a cannon that shoots a line over the top of that ship that's going down. And they showed us how to do it right here, but they can raise a line, hook it to that ship right here, draw that line tight, I mean super tight, and then they can send a buggy down all the way to that sinking ship right here, and people can get in there and they'll pull that buggy out of harm's way right here and save their souls right here. All of that, somebody was watching. Somebody was watching. There's a ship going down. We got to do something. And so as you decide what to do, you get your resources. You get your provisions. You're ready for that event. And you're ready. And so when these guys right here, they send a boat, they send the cannon shooting over the top of them. They got ready right here and tell them at the hospital, we got some hurting people. You know, we got dirty people coming in right here. They're filthy right here. We got to wash them and bathe them right here. We got all this trouble. We're ready. And they're ready for everything. Well, there's another lighthouse. And this lighthouse is on the worst part of the seashore. And that lighthouse right here, they got a saving station. And that saving station right here has been the means to save many a life of those who have been rocked on the shoals, shipwrecked on the shoals. And so as people were being saved on this, some people who had been saved by this lighthouse committee and these people that saved them right here, they thought, well, boy, you know, this place has become famous right here and everybody knows about this, and said, we'd like to have a part of it. And we can see right now, you know, that you only got one lifeboat. We need to have more than one lifeboat. And we see right here that you got some old utensils and some old ropes and some old ways right here. We need to upgrade that just a little bit, you know, and we can do that. And so they did. And as time went by, they discovered right here that when a ship would land and they'd have to save all the people right here, well, they're filthy and dirty and half drowned, and they got to be doctored and ministered to and taken care of and given clothes and bedding and cots and so forth. So we got to have. It's kind of embarrassing right here, but we got to have some good beds. You know, we got to have some better accoutrements. You know, for this lighthouse, for this place of safety and deliverance. And so they began doing that. And as people came by and they became involved with this lighthouse, the more they wanted to participate and cooperate. And so they were cooperating and said, well, you know, let's take the lifeboat. Let's take the lifeboat right here, and we've got brand new boats now. Let's take the old lifeboat and let's put it under kind of a shaded glass and put a little lights there. We don't